not truly, not unless the forces within its tides dream it into being. Here, eternity is truth. Father. Slowly, with weariness and reluctance, he forms the idea of eyes, of a mouth, of limbs, of the chair beneath him. Far off, there is another chair, and a thread of thought and will that tether him back to a place of metal and stone and time. Father, he opens his eyes. Darkness lies before him, extending through every dimension. Darkness and him alone. In that moment, he feels the echo of every man or woman who has ever woken beside a guttering fire to see the night creeping closer as the flame light fades. The darkness becomes a black mirror. He looks into his reflection, a man on a stone chair, old, dark skin clinging to the hollows of his cheeks. Iron and snow streak his beard. The shoulders and limbs beneath his plain black robes are thin. Dust marks the bare soles of his feet. His eyes are clear, and there is neither kindness nor pity in them. The chair and the man sit on a narrow stone platform. Behind him burns a wall of fire that curves up and away, blazing and flaring like the surface of a star. The reflection changes. For an instant, a figure of iron and blades with coal furnace eyes is looking back at him from a throne of chrome. Then it is gone. And the reflection is a blur of images falling one atop another. A golden warrior standing with drawn sword before the gates of a towering fortress. A figure before the mouth of a mountain cave. A boy with a stick and fear in his eyes. A queen with a spear atop a cliff. An eagle with 10 wings beating against a thunder-threaded sky. On and on, images tumbling over each other like the faces of cards tossed through the air. "Is there any truth in you?" asks the voice that comes from the dark. The images vanish, and the darkness hangs before him. It falls into the abyss beneath like a cascade of obsidian sand. "At the root of your lies, is there any truth, Father?" The darkness becomes a forest, dark trunks reaching to an untouchable sky, roots crawling out and down into the abyss beneath. The man on the chair is sitting on the snow-covered ground, a fire burning before him. A shadow moves out of the dark between the trees. It is huge, sable-furred and silver-eyed. It drags its shadow with it as it comes forwards. It pauses on the edge of the light. "You claim to be a man," says the wolf. "But that is a lie, revealed to any that can see you here. You deny you wish godhood, but you raise up an empire to praise you. You call yourself the master of mankind, and perhaps that is the only truth you ever spoke, that you wish to make your children slaves." The wolf tilts its head, and for a second it is not a wolf, but a bloated shadow, veined with lightning, its eyes holes punched into a red furnace. "But this, son," growls the wolf, muscles coiling under black fur, lips peeling back over teeth. "This son has returned to your cradle of lies." The wolf leaps. The forest blinks to a sheet of curdled black and migraine colour. The shadow of a man reaches across the dark with hands that are claws. The fire flares, roaring up to become a burning wall, and the claws rake the blaze. Shadow burns to ash and cinders. The wolf recoils, howling. Lightning laces the dark of the forest. The wolf pads along the boundary of the firelight. Behind it, other eyes shine in the deeper shadows between the trees, bright and cold as the light of cruel stars. The man turns his head. He is not looking at the wolf, but at the blackness beyond. "I deny you," he says. And in this place that is more real than life, yet as unreal as a dream, his words shake the dark like thunder. "Will you not even talk to me, Father? Now, as your empire of lies ends, will you not tell me the truth?"